It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. We started talking Penn State in 2019 NFL Draft in the previous segment. We're going to continue looking at the back half, you know, day three of the draft, and some interesting choices here, including, you know, the handful of free agents that signed afterwards that I'm curious to see what happens with them. But we're working our way through round by round, and the next one up, you know, we mentioned Connor McGovern, third round to Dallas. Miles Sanders, second round, number 53 overall to Philadelphia, who is the first Penn State player off the board. Sharif Miller also to Philadelphia, his hometown team. He gets a shot there. We got a total of six Penn State guys, heard their names called. Some others were quick to sign free agent deals afterwards. Amani Oruwariye to Detroit in the fifth round. That's number 146 overall. I didn't really go into this weekend, this past weekend, Greg, with a clear idea of where I felt like Oruwariye was going to go.
Yeah.
On one hand, the length is a positive. I think he tested fine in that regard. He also was a guy who made plays happen, made plays on the ball. Sometimes I felt like last season, to his detriment, was maybe playing the ball too much sometimes. But he was a guy who was a relatively proven in terms of taking the ball away from opponents. Stands over 6 feet tall. I don't think anything stood out athletically, you know, kind of like Christian Campbell from the year before. So anything could have happened. All bets are off. And the cornerback position can be weird sometimes, right? They, you know, there can be a run on them early. In this particular draft, nobody seemed to be very enamored with corners. So right. It was late in the first round, I think, that the first cornerback even went off the board. So the position group as a whole can be kind of funny. And, you know, there's frankly a lot of them usually available in the draft, which I think when you see the number of cornerbacks available and you know that you are splitting hairs to decide between player A and player B, all bets are off. I do think that Detroit got very, very good value in the fifth round, though.
Yeah, no question. So obviously afterward, when guys start to drop, there is – of race sort of to explain why there were some hints and speculations that Amani wasn't good against the run, that he maybe lacked a little bit of the physicality NFL teams think he'll need to go against the biggest corners there, the biggest wide receivers that he'll face. I mean, look, when it comes down to it, Dustin, this is a guy that what we thought would be a third or fourth round pick based on every mock draft that was out there, and he ends up sliding a bit. And I think that you made a good point, hitting the nail right on the head. There wasn't an infatuation with the corner position in this class, which means absolutely everything came down to need and fit. And for whatever reason, a few teams didn't think that he fit earlier in the draft, so they passed on him, and then obviously Detroit had a fifth round grade on him and thought it was time to snap him up. So, you know, I think you have to look at it as another defensive back developed for Terry Smith that goes in the NFL draft. But I guess the question, much like Christian Campbell is, and we'll have to remember this when we get to next year's NFL draft look ahead, is that, you know, these guys are big, obviously, and they can play the biggest receivers, but do they get a little bit too much hype because of their size that never really works out come draft day? Because Christian Campbell is almost the same case as Amani.
Yeah, and honestly, I think we've gone beyond the threshold where a 6 foot corner who moves well is any kind of rarity. Because even you, when you look at recruiting now, and I don't know whether like taller kids are just starting to migrate to those positions because it's in demand, or whether there's just, you know, bigger, taller, faster kids out there now. But all the way from the ground up, you've seen that in recruiting over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. The NFL started it. I think Seattle started this trend of getting these long press aggressive corners like Richard Sherman to fit in with a defensive scheme that's very, very aggressive and likes to go one-on-one on the outside, likes to pressure you and make sure that you don't get a good release off the line of scrimmage. So these are not new ideas anymore. And I think that, you know, Owawarie has always been a good player, a special player, because he is a taller, longer corner. He plays accordingly. But I think that without looking at the draft pool player by player, I got to think there was a whole bunch of 6 foot corners out there because, yeah, you know, there's a lot of them available now. A lot of 6 foot players are playing in the cornerback spot.
Yeah. And so you have a mixture of more guys I think fit the length profile that NFL teams want. So then you introduce the other ideas into it of how does he run and is that, you know, how does that match up against other guys? And then when it really comes draft time, our teams have to list these guys out in such a way that if you have one knock, no matter how minor it is, it's going to put you behind the eight ball and move some guys up ahead of you potentially. And I think that's probably what happened here. It was just guys moved up the draft board over Monty because teams saw him differently. But as we always say, Dustin, it only takes one team to get you a shot in the NFL, and then it's up to you what you do with it from there.
Speaking of it only takes one team, good segue into Trace McSorley, probably the most buzzed about pick of Penn State's group of six, goes in the sixth round, number 197 overall to Baltimore. And I just felt like he couldn't have asked for a better situation to be in than to be in Baltimore, to have a chance to truly have a chance to compete for a backup job to Lamar Jackson early on. But they seem committed, you know, and this is another copycat type situation. I've been waiting to see, you know, I thought Tommy Stevens was a Taysom Hill guy right off the bat, just with his body of work. But they're going to try to use Trace McSorley in a bunch of different ways because, you know, those smarts, that quickness, his ability to you know, at least pose a threat as a passer, makes defenses, puts them on edge, honestly. And that is what Taysom Hill really brought to the table for New Orleans. And I think what makes Trace a good comparison for him, Taysom Hill's a big dude.
Yeah.
But is the certain fearlessness it takes to touch the ball three times in a game maybe and be confident that you're going to make a big play happen when you do.
Right.
That is what I think New Orleans got something special in Taysom Hill. And I think that's what Baltimore saw in Trace McSorley, and that's what they're getting in Trace McSorley, is that he could not touch the ball for 59 minutes and 30 seconds. You could throw him out there on a extra point attempt, or you could throw him out there on a punt, and he can bring something to the table and make a big play happen as if he was playing the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, when we talked about ideal fits for Trace McSorley a couple weeks ago, I'm not sure Baltimore came immediately to mind, but in hindsight, it might be the perfect fit. Yeah. Obviously, with Lamar Jackson there, he is just like Trace was in college, and it's not a comment on their durability. It's just the way they play. When you are a running quarterback at the college, high college level and in the NFL, you are one play away from injury, whether it's because of a hit and someone hits you in a way that they can't hit you in the pocket, or because, you know, at some point, running around the way these guys do can lead to just pulls and strains and things like that. So Robert Griffin III obviously is there. The Ravens now lead the league in quarterbacks who can do other things and have been asked to do other things. Keep in mind, Lamar Jackson teams wanted him to work out as a receiver at one point. Robert Griffin's played receiver a little bit since his time as a starter came to an end. And obviously Trace McSorley was asked to play defensive back at this level. So it is kind of funny to see how it all comes full circle, but I took what John Harbaugh said during and after the draft. I took it at face value and think that this is really a perfect spot for Trace to end up. And he's going to do a little bit of everything. You know, he's going to be on special teams. I wouldn't be surprised to see him catch passes. But this is a team that just didn't draft this guy to cut him later. They want him. And it's also important to note that we mentioned they only got three quarterbacks on that roster right now. Now, more will be at it, no doubt. But, I mean, I think they're in as good a shape as they can be at this point.
So I do think Trace McSorley lands on the Ravens practice squad, barring emergency. I don't know if that means that they're going to sign a veteran to play that third quarter. I don't know if that they're going to only carry two quarterbacks in the games. What I do know about the Ravens is they are embracing the uniqueness of their offensive situation, and they're building around Lamar Jackson. They are, you know, so you can criticize, you know, they were in a really dire situation at wide receiver going into the draft. They take Hollywood Brown in the first round. They helped to solve that problem. They took the kid from Notre Dame shortly after. He's big, strong, and fast. So they're trying things there, but they're really built to exploit the middle of the field with their tight ends, with their power running game, with Lamar Jackson creating situations that defenses that make them uncomfortable. Trace McSorley can do all of those things too. And you have people out there who have not really followed Trace McSorley's career and say he can't throw the ball or whatever. It's just not true.
Right.
It might depend on what stage of the game. If you catch him on, he always had those one or two drive cold stretches, right? So if you watch Trace McSorley during those moments of games, you might come away with that conclusion. Mm-hmm. And you might look at his completion percentage and not really understand the nuance of the fact that nobody in the Penn State offense could catch passes from him. You might not really understand that part of it. He can throw it. I think he's a better pure thrower than Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson might have he's got a faster, more live arm than McSorley does, but I think in terms of accuracy, McSorley's a little better in that regard. But I think in a year or two down the road, McSorley is going to be a primary backup guy. He's a guy who could probably improve his stock as a free agent, or as, you know, somebody who re-signs with Baltimore and continues his career. He just landed in a spot where I think he's going to end up getting more than just his rookie deal out of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And you couldn't have been sure about that. A guy like McSorley, you don't know whether he's going to last 2 years or 3 years, let alone go into a second contract. I feel better about the fact that McSorley is going to play well enough. He's going to improve his stock. He's going to do things on the field. He's going to prove his value in all kinds of ways, and he's going to stick around the league for longer than 4 years.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there again. But the fact that, as Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network said, leading into the draft, he's a perfect backup quarterback, right? A guy that could come in and win a game for you if he needed to every now and again, but not all the time and not for the long term. So he checks a lot of those boxes. And again, we talked about it before. The one thing Trace can do to help his longevity in the NFL is be willing to play other positions and do some things that a typical quarterback would not. The Taysom Hill comparisons are going to become really tired by the time the season starts, because
sure,
it's going to be over and over and over and over and over and over again. I don't think he's going to be used quite as much as Taysom Hill was used by Sean Payton and the Saints last year, but they're going to find ways to get him on the field. You know, Harbaugh's told NFL Network that, you know, you give a guy a helmet, you want to find a way to get him on the field, which is kind of funny because it's just not how it always, you know, works sure. out. But in this case, they see ways for him to impact the game besides him lining up under center. And I think, obviously, that's good news for Trace McSorley and the rest of this the Baltimore Ravens football team, that they think they can find a way to get him involved.
How cool. Nick's got drafted 7th round by the LA Rams. They see him maybe as a special teams ace, kind of like Matthew Slater is to the New England Patriots. Ryan Bates goes to Philadelphia as an undrafted free agent. Kevin Givens to San Francisco. DeAndre Tompkins to Philly, Jonathan Thomas to Cincinnati, Cole Farmer to Oakland, and Kyle Vasey, I believe, went to San Francisco. So a bunch of guys getting opportunities. We're going to move on. We're going to see a look at the 2020 draft and beyond, what current Penn State players will get opportunities in the future.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.